And so I'm actually talking today about, what we believe and what we teach. And so I'm actually going to start with our global vision, which is up on the wall here. And if you can read that, I'm going to ask you to read that with me. And so this is the vision that Centers for Spiritual Living as an organization holds, a vision for the world. This is our objective, and this is the thing that guides our decisions as an organization. And so it's called the Global Vision. And it begins with this, if you can read this with me. We see a world that works for everyone, where all life is honored as expressions of the divine, where people live according to spiritual truth, where humanity awakens to its spiritual magnificence, where humanity rediscovers personal creative power, where we live as one global family, where kinship with all life prospers, where unity and connection is emphasized, where forgiveness is the norm, where spiritual guidance is valued, where we are called to conscious social action, where people have enough food, homes, and a sense of belonging, where there is peace, harmony, and justice for all, where resources are valued, cared for, and shared, where communities are meaningfully involved in service to the world, where there is a renewed emphasis on beauty, nature, creativity, art, and aesthetics. So that is what we stand on as an organization. That is what we stand for as an organization. And that is actually, Alexis, you can turn it off. That is actually the simplified version. I brought some copies, if you are interested, that are in the back table that are the expanded version in paragraphs of those different things. And so the title of my talk today is What You Talking About? And I'm talking about our core beliefs and teachings of Centers for Spiritual Living, or the Science of Mind, and how those things support us, and how they support it life in having a greater experience of itself and an expanded experience of life that we all can have out of these teachings. And so today I'm going to talk about God and creation, sin and heaven and hell, the devil and Jesus. So we've got a lot of ground to cover here. And so we'll start with the big one, God. You know, sometimes it's easier to start with what we don't believe instead of what we do believe. And so we do not believe that God is a man or a person that is up in the sky or up in heaven, that is pulling strings and that orchestrates things, and a presence and power that likes some people better than other people or plays favorites. Instead, we teach that God, by whatever name you want to call it, spirit, the divine, mind, the universe, the one, it doesn't matter, is a power and a presence that is the very creative energy and life force within everything. We teach that its essence is love and intelligence, and that it is everywhere, equally everywhere, all of the time, everywhere present. And so in the Science of Mind textbook, it says, God is the first cause, the great I am, the one and only spirit or creative energy, which is the cause of all visible things. Love, wisdom, intelligence, power, substance, mind. The original life is infinite. It is good, it is filled with peace, it is the essence of purity, it is the ultimate of intelligence, it is power, it is law, it is life, it is in us. And so what that means then is that God is always right where we are, surrounding us and enveloping us and filling us from within. That means all the intelligence that there is, all the love that there is, all the peace that there is, all the good that there is here, present, and available to us. And what that means to me then is we do not have to beg or beseech or get on God's good side in order to be recipients of that good. What it means instead is that in order to receive, to embody, to experience those qualities of God, what we must do is become in alignment with that. We must become in alignment with that presence in our thinking and in our feeling. That means to become in alignment with peace or with love in our thinking and in our feeling. And as soon as we do that, all the power of the universe, all the love that there is available to flow through us. All the peace that is available to flow through us when we align ourselves with it. And life is better when we're able to do that. Because like I tell you after we read our vision statement, then we can bring those qualities of the divine into any situation. We can bring love and peace and wholeness and power and good and joy and abundance, all of those qualities into any conversation, into any situation. That means then when you're having an argument with your spouse, you can bring forward wisdom. You can bring forward love. You can bring forward the power and presence of wholeness itself that is the very essence of who you are, so it doesn't matter that your spouse is saying mean things or yelling at you. You stand anchored in your own wholeness. The conversation is different when you do that. It means that when you're stuck in traffic, peace is already right here. Therefore, when that happens, we're not reliant on the outside world giving us those things. We're empowered because we recognize that we already possess them. Life is better when we're able to do that. And then, so what about creation, the second thing? What about creation and us? The teachings in this philosophy is that everything and everyone are expressions of that divine presence. Individuations of that one life, that one mind, that one love, that one intelligence. Everything is an expression of the divine. That means you can never be separate or apart from it. And so Ernest Holmes says about creation, all emerge from the one whose being is ever present, whose life, robed in numberless forms, is manifest throughout all creation. Creation is the coming forth of spirit into manifestation. The one encompasses and flows through all. That means all the qualities of spirit are right where we are and within us. The wisdom of the universe can, when we open ourselves to it, express within us as guidance and as understanding. That wholeness and order as qualities of spirit express within our bodies as health. That peace is right where we are regardless of the situation. And that love is here within us and can be brought into any relationship, into any conversation. That puts us in a place of power because then we're not victims. We are at choice. We're never stuck. I remember the first time, I don't know if I was in practitioner training or if it was before that, that I really got that those qualities are within me. And I remember driving on the freeway to go to an appointment, and there was a traffic jam, and I was going to be late to that appointment. And I started stressing out, and I started getting really anxious, and I started getting angry. And then I remembered, you know what? Peace is here, and it's a choice. And I was able to move into that place of peace within me. That was the first time I'd ever done that. The traffic jam didn't open up, but when I arrived, I was okay. I wasn't stressed out. It's a powerful place to recognize that you can tap into those qualities of the divine. It enables us not to spin out, but to stay in peace. And so what about judgment? Ernest Holmes says, no one judges us but ourselves. No one gives to us but ourselves. And no one robs us but ourselves. We need not fear God or the devil. There is no devil, and God is love. Ultimately, we shall see that the universe rests on the shoulders of love, that God is love, and that all the errors of man are the result of ignorance of his true nature. And so in Science of Mind, they teach we are not punished for our sins or our mistakes. We are punished by them And it's all that means is there is a law of cause and effect. And what we think and what we believe and the choices that we make have consequences and results. And we always get to choose again and again and again and again. We're never stuck. And so, sin. What about sin? Do you know that the word sin is actually an archer's term? That it actually means to miss the mark. And so to sin really means that you are missing the mark or that you are off track. And so we miss the mark or we are off track when we believe in things like that we are limited or that there isn't enough or that we are separate from life or separate from our good or separate from love or peace or any of those things. And so the quote about sin says, the original meaning of sin was simply to miss the mark of spiritual perfection. In Science of Mind, we believe that there is no, quote, sin in the traditional sense of the word. But like I said, we are punished by our sins and not for them. So when we believe in lack or limitation, and therefore we are missing the mark, we are missing the spiritual truth of our own beingness, it looks like things like when your relationship ends and in the midst of that pain and that grief and that letting go, telling yourself, I'm never going to have another one. Or when your church closes its doors to say there will never be another place where I fit and I belong and I am welcomed and embraced. It's believing something other than the ultimate truth. It's when you lose your job telling yourself things like, this is hopeless. There is never enough, there never will be enough, and I don't have what it takes to get another job that serves me and where I can serve the world. It is when someone says something hurtful to you, it is returning hate for hate instead of getting centered in your own peace and being the presence of love that you're here to be. That's missing the mark. Missing the mark is turning our backs on God and turning our backs on the truth that is ever present. Turning our backs on omnipresent good. And so there's a story about Ernest Holmes that during the Depression, he went to do a speech at a theater kind of place, and he pulled up out front in a limousine and dressed in a beautiful suit. And he got out of the limousine, and there was a woman standing on the sidewalk that said to him, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, showing up in a limousine and dressed in a suit like that. And he said to her, I ought to be ashamed of myself if I didn't. He was so anchored in the truth of omnipresence, the truth of good without bound, the truth that he was one with that presence, inseparable from it. It's missing the mark when we think we're separate and apart and distinct. And so if there is no judgment and there is no sin, then what about heaven and hell? They're both states of consciousness. They're both states of mind. They are both the result of our thoughts and our choices. And so heaven is when we live from that knowingness that we are one. Heaven is when we live from love. Heaven is when we live from peace and when we stand anchored in our own wholeness and when we live in oneness. And when we live from those places, then we radiate love and we radiate peace and we radiate wholeness into the situations that we are in and we create heaven all around us. Because everything changes when we are coming from that place of oneness. It changes our lives and it changes our environment and it changes our relationships. And you know, all of us, we experience heaven at times and we experience hell at times because we create it inside of our heads. Hell is the pain of feeling and believing that we are separate. Separate from source, separate from all that God is, separate from everyone else. And so Ernest Holmes says, Because the science of mind views all life as God, there can be no hell. The terms heaven and hell are symbolic of what each individual creates in his or her own life. We find heaven when we live from our hearts, know our oneness with God, and are our true selves. Hell, on the other hand, is the inner pain we feel when our lives and experiences seem to be against us. In reality, nothing is against us. And when we understand the basic unity of all life, we get that. We always have the power to change our thinking, and this alone lifts us from any hell-like experience into heaven on earth. He also says, every man is an incarnation of God. The soul can no more be lost than God can be lost. We cannot believe that because we have subscribed to some creed, we have thereby purchased a seat in heaven. Nor can we believe in any vindictive or malicious power in the universe which damns us because we have erred through human ignorance. And so no one judges us but ourselves. That divine presence is love. And that divine presence supports us in thriving and in bringing our gifts to the world and in living our fullest and most magnificent life. That's what we're supported in. And so what of the devil? You know, I was never a Christian because I could never believe in that devil thing, even as a kid. It never made sense to me. And so we teach that there is no power of a devil. The devil is not a power, but that doesn't mean that we don't see evil in the world, because we certainly do. To me, that evil is a misuse of that power that lives within us. And the way that I often see it is that people that are doing evil are often coming from a place where they feel powerless, where they feel less than, where they are so wounded and broken that they have to act out and have power over other people so that they can have a sense of that power that lives within them. It's a misuse of power. And if that doesn't make sense to you, think about this for a second. Think of something recently that you did that was unkind or uncaring. Sometime maybe when you were mean, or something that you feel ashamed of. Maybe you yelled at someone or had a tantrum or flipped someone off on the freeway. Can you think of something that you did recently that was unkind, uncaring? Does everybody have one? Was that action born out of you being anchored in your wholeness? Was that action born out of you being anchored in your enoughness? Did it come from love? Were you anchored in love and anchored in your own peace? Or were you feeling separate from your good? Were you feeling separate from love? Were you feeling separate from your enoughness and from God? Was it coming from fear? That's what the things that we see evil in the world, people are coming from that place of not enough and broken, and someone has taken my good from me and I'm feeling disempowered. So I'm going to try to have power over somebody else. So evil isn't a power, but it is actions that are born out of feeling and thinking that we are separate from our true nature, which is incarnations of that magnificence and beauty and love of the universe. And so what do we teach about Jesus? We teach that Jesus was the great example and the master teacher and the way shower, that he fully embodied and fully lived from that realization that there is only one, and that we and everything are a part of that one. He lived from that realization of his divine self as God. Jesus was the great example given to us all of fully living our divine potential, or, quote, Christ consciousness. According to our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, Science of Mind does not deny the divinity of Jesus, but it does affirm the divinity of all people. It does not deny that Jesus was the Son of God, but affirms that all beings are children of God. It does not deny that the kingdom of God was revealed through Jesus, but affirms that the kingdom of God is also revealed through you and me. In John 3:2, it clearly states, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God." So Christ wasn't a person. Christ is a consciousness, and it's a consciousness of oneness, and it was embodied so fully by the man Jesus that he became the Christ. He is the greatest example we have of somebody living their divine potential and living the truth of oneness. And so truly, then, we are a religion that is based on the example and the teachings of Jesus. We are a religion that is based on, stands in, stands for love and forgiveness and not judging, that stands for generosity and inclusion and prayer and oneness. We are not a religion that is about Jesus. We are the religion of Jesus. The living example of what he came to show us is the religion that we are doing here. And so this whole talk really came out of, what do you say when someone asks you, what kind of church do you go to? What do you guys believe? What is that? So when someone asks you that, what do you guys believe at your church? You can tell them, we believe that God is everywhere present, everywhere, in and through everything, not far off from us. You can tell them also that that presence expresses not just is everywhere present, but is in everything. You can tell them we believe that sin is simply a mistake that we have made. It is telling us that we are off track somehow. And that heaven and hell are states of being, and we create them ourselves in our own minds and in our own lives. You can tell them we don't believe in the devil, but we do believe that Jesus was the great example and the great way shower of how to live our lives. And someone asks you, what kind of church do you go to? You tell them, we go to a church that believes in love and inclusion. I go to a church that honors the sacredness of all life. I go to a church that stands on equality and connection and oneness. I go to a church whose mission and vision it says that we are here to be a beneficial presence in this world. You speak to people about what part of this speaks to your heart and to your soul and feeds you and lifts you. And so blessings to every single one of you as you walk this path of self-discovery and discovering your own spiritual nature and bringing that magnificent divine presence into this world in a way that blesses you and that blesses everyone around you. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you right now to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so how good it is to answer that call of my own heart and my own soul to remember and to commune with and to feel and to know this one infinite presence. To recognize and know that, yes, indeed, we do live in this field of love. That we live in this field of infinite potential and of good without bound. How good it is to recognize and know that there is only one life and one presence and one power and one beingness, and that it is here living itself out in and through and around and as each and every single one of us. How good it is to know that we can never be separate or apart from this infinite presence, for it is the very core of our beingness. It is our soul. It is our spirit. It is our essence, it is our light, and it is our mind. For there is only one mind and one life, and that is God, the divine, the infinite, Christ consciousness, Allah, Buddha mind, by every name is this one. And so today we rest in this presence. We recognize it everywhere we look, for it imbues all things. And so today I know that that presence, in its infinite wisdom and intelligence and knowingness, that it guides each and every single one of us on these paths that we are walking. That it goes before us and opens the way and makes it plain and smooth. That we are guided, that we are guarded, and that we are here bringing that light into this world in a most magnificent way. How grateful I am to be in recognition of this. How grateful I am to feel this field. And so I know that we are prospered, that the windows of heaven are open and pouring out a blessing of abundance and of health and of peace and of perfect words and of harmonious relationships. And I speak this word for this entire country right now, for every person and every political leader and every decision maker, knowing that there is something happening right now that is called healing. That everything that is going on is a part of this divine plan unfolding itself as the good. That it is not done. It is not complete. That that presence of love and wholeness and peace and good is downloading itself through every person and every situation and every job and every position and every person. Because everything is God. And so I rest in that knowing, and I trust in that knowing, that everything is part of the evolutionary unfolding of that divine presence. And we embrace that, and we embody that, and we claim that, and we declare this to be the truth. And so I release this word into that creative law of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself now. And so I let this go, and I let it be, and I say, and so it is.